2.5.
Speaking as an engineer, Louisa, my view is that all the materials we use should be genuinely suitable for making watches, and not just chosen as marketing gimmicks. We're often guilty, in my view, of using exotic-sounding materials that are not particularly suitable from a technical standpoint.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
A good example was that debate we had on whether to use submarine-grade steel in some models, to give the impression that they're exceptionally resistant to water. Okay, submarine steel's good at withstanding the pressure of being a mile beneath the sea, but it's heavy. If it's not coated, its corrosion resistance is not that good, at least compared with other metals like titanium. It's also fairly poor in terms of looks, in my view. Water resistance isn't a question of metal quality. It's about the quality of the joints and seals you use. So, as a watch material, for me, it's not at all suitable. Tremendously marketable, I'm sure, but...
No, I take your point. But I think it's fair to say that we've never chosen a material for marketing reasons that's insufficiently durable or not adequately built in any way.
Oh, no. No, if anything, it's been the reverse. We've used materials that are over the top, so they can be described with superlatives in advertising.
Ideally, we should be using stuff that's good for watches and good for marketing as well.
Sure, but that's easier said than done. I mean, a lot of the materials that are ideal for the job in terms of scratch resistance, shock resistance, and all the rest of it are either pretty ordinary or their compositions are relatively complex. And they've got complicated names, which means they're not all that good for marketing. That's the problem.
Sure, but the other problem is consumers are not technical experts and they make choices based on their impressions rather than based on facts. And that's a hard commercial fact, as hard as submarine steel.
No, I accept that.
So what should our approach be? It's obviously not an easy question.